We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Field of 68 Media Network presents Red is the New Orange, a Syracuse basketball podcast.
Vince intercepts a pass, breakaway for the freshman guard. He flies and slams. Aerial assault from Judah Mintz.
Looking to go back door to Bell. They get it to Amir, corner three, knocks it down. Chris Bell, the sharpshooter.
Bringing you everything you need to know out of the 315.
Up top, Williams surges ahead, up with the right hand and in. A pretty up-and-under move from Benny Williams to beat his man.
Over to Taylor. He skips into the lane, puts up a floater, and drops in.
Let's get it started with your hosts, Ian Unsworth and Johnny Gadamowicz.
Four in a row for Syracuse. The Orange take down Louisville. What's going on? It's another edition. Red is the New Orange. Johnny Gadamowicz, Ian Unsworth. We're a part of the Field of 68 podcast network. You can find us wherever you get your podcast. And surely at this point, we hope you've thrown us a like, a follow, a subscribe, wherever you find your podcasts. We're on Twitter at F68_Cuse. But if you haven't, now might be a pretty darn good time to do that, because this Syracuse team, Ian, has hit the 20-win mark. They have won four in a row. They sweep the season series with the Louisville Cardinals. And just like that, now all of a sudden, this team is in a position to be a part of some serious bubble conversations, depending on how the rest of the week goes.
The coolest thing was Adrian Autry post-game saying to his guys, we are part of something that hasn't happened at Syracuse in a little while, where it feels like this team has a legitimate chance to do a little damage in the ACC tournament, is now actually on some bubbles instead of just being the January, you know, piece of conversation around Central New York that fades off mid-February. No, this team has a legitimate chance, if games are won now, to contend for a bubble spot. They have to do work, and there's clearly a long way to go. But 20 wins is 20 wins, especially for the first year under a new head coach.
Plenty of props to Red Autry. Before we hop into too much of the bubble talk, let's talk about the Louisville game a little bit, because 6-point win for the Orange, not necessarily the prettiest of wins. They do allow 48 points in the second half, but anytime you get a road conference win, you take it. Couple of interesting things from Autry's post-game comments. He said Chris Bell played his best game in a Syracuse jersey. And I don't entirely disagree with him at all. Mm-hmm. Led the way with 23 points, chipped in 7 rebounds, which we know has been a little bit of a hindrance to his game over the years. But he and Judah paced the way offensively, Judah with 21 of their own. And I know Peter Carey wasn't playing serious minutes, but Peter Carey did not travel. So all of a sudden that means, okay, if you're Malik Brown, that means you really can't afford to be on the bench at all. And Malik wasn't. He played a full 40, as did Bell, as did Justin Taylor, who didn't have a half bad game either. So I think a lot of encouraging performances from a Syracuse standpoint that, again, even though only a 6-point win, you still have a lot of positive to take away.
And when you're up big in the first half, I guess this is just going to be the theme over the past weeks of the season and hopefully this doesn't come back to kick them in the butt in the ACC tournament. But if you're going to get up double digits, yeah, you can lose every second half. You can't get up five and lose the second half. But if you're going to get up double digits, by all means, do whatever. You're shooting 62% in the first half. Again, the offense has looked spectacular. The ball stays in the middle of the floor. It doesn't get stuck. And when it goes to Chris Bell, there's so much late attention coming his way that he can do whatever. He shot 9 free throws. Like, that's a number I never thought we would have seen from Bell at the beginning of the year, because it was just, I get it, I'm shooting. I'm faking a shot, dribbling once, and then I'm shooting. And look, Louisville does not guard. There is not much care put into guarding the ball with Kenny Payne and crew.
Which was very apparent right from the jump.
But Chris Bell is now taking the extra step. He's got that extra confidence. And in his post-game comments, he said that he's really put it upon himself to get active on the defensive end.
Right.
7 rebounds, a career high. The blocks, 3 of them. A couple of them, like, really clutch in the last 4 minutes of the game. Those kind of things give you more confidence on the offensive end when you're making an impact defensively, when nobody's yelling at you to rebound and then pulling you out of the game when you don't. That gives you extra juice.
6-2 since that Wake Forest loss, which is crazy to think about. You think about what this team could have done, not to say that they would have thrown in the towel, but it would have been very easy after that Wake loss for things to kind of fizzle out, and, you know, you just sort of see where things go from there. But no, you credit them because they've reined it in and they have found a way to win games. And you look at this 4-game winning streak in particular, and the 82 points against Louisville on Saturday, actually the lowest scoring output Syracuse has had. We've really seen an uptick offensively as far as the efficiency, the numbers, the percentages. It feels like this team is really starting to, you don't want to use the word peak because you hope there's room for growth, but this is probably the most impressive collective stride we've seen over the span of 4 or 5 games all season.
And is this going to be a great defensive team? Probably not. Especially if they're playing zone like they did the entirety of the second half.
Right.
Louisville, just like they did in the first game, started making shots against the zone. And it seems like any team in the ACC at this point could probably make shots against the zone. Brandon Huntley, I was dumbfounded why Louisville stopped throwing the ball to Brandon Huntley Hatfield. Like, that dude is damn good. Probably the best player on their team, if we're being completely honest. Because he had 17 points on 6 shots. Like, he cleans up the glass. He can shoot over anyone, especially Malik Brown, who's 3 inches shorter than he is. But again, Kenny Payne's about to lose his job. This is not a us problem. This is not a Syracuse problem. This is a Louisville problem. So the zone is clearly not the long-term answer, but I think is a short-term solution for a much bigger problem. But I say all that to say, if you're going to score 80 points a game, you're probably going to be all right, especially when it comes to the ACC tournament structure. Teams have not as much time to game plan. Things get crazier, right? Guys get tired.
Right.
And, you know, if somehow, some way this team makes the NCAA tournament, look at the team with Buddy and Joe that lost to Houston. That was not a good defensive team by any stretch, but they still made it down the way because San Diego State had no clue what to do and West Virginia just couldn't make threes. Like, these kind of things happen when you're playing against teams that are inexperienced against the zone, but it's not going to work in conference play. So I hope by the ACC tournament, a lot of tournaments going on, got to sort out my my vowels here,
differentiate, but
I hope by the ACC tournament there's a bit more reliance on the man defense. At least Syracuse will have like a full week to practice this thing and get it fine-tuned, because the zone in the second half, especially in Greensboro, not playing at home, and, you know, and you see one of those second half slides, it could go a lot different when the season's on the line.
Yeah. To your point, though, it does feel like this is an orange team that playing a lot of games in a short amount of time. Like if they get hot in an ACC tournament type structure where they're just feeling it and going at it day after day, like I almost think that layoff, because of course Syracuse plays its season finale on Tuesday. Everybody else and their mother pretty much plays next weekend as well. It almost feels like that layoff is going to hurt them just because of where the energy is, what the vibes are like, this team's ability to kind of just go on a hot stretch. And right now they're in the midst of it. And the last thing in the world you'd want to see is have that cool down because of timing. But Syracuse does have to thank Notre Dame, because Notre Dame has made things really interesting from a seeding standpoint with wins over both Wake Forest and Clemson over the past week. It is, of course, the Clemson Tigers who Syracuse gets in the season finale on Tuesday, the same Clemson Tigers team that took them down in the Dome a couple of weeks ago. But the reason I bring all this up, Ian, is because you mentioned that ACC tournament. You look at the standings. You look at the seeding. All of a sudden, the Orange go down to Little John and muster out a win. They can not only be looking at a first-round bye, which a month ago we would have loved, but now potentially a double bye, a two-round bye where you're bypassing those first two games. And again, does it help? Does it hurt? You want to talk layoff, time off, right? You know, kind of waiting in the wings and just thinking about it mentally. That's a whole different conversation, but still not a bad spot to be in, all things considered.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And Wake has somehow clung on to its bubble spot with these bad losses over the past few weeks. On our Twitter account, I retweeted a Eric Haslam bracket projection. Wake is an 11 seed right now, and Syracuse is the fourth team out behind Utah, Iowa, and Providence, teams that are far better than the Orange in Eric Haslam's rankings of whatever, you know. Same thing as the KenPom net. It's another one of those projections to try to rank teams and see who's better than who, resume-wise, skill-wise, that, yeah, et cetera, you get the gist. But Syracuse needs another big win, and Clemson is a 6 seed right now. So that could all play out well. I mean, the whole ACC tournament thing is, it's just crazy how far Wake has fallen off the table. That's the thing you really didn't expect. And it speaks to, you touched on this earlier, Johnny, how well Syracuse kind of stuck together after that loss. And they said they're young, resilient, et cetera, et cetera. But I thought Adrian Auchi did a fantastic job of challenging his players and then helping them flushing it. After that game, he rants and raves publicly about how bad the performance was.
It was a wake-up call.
I don't think internally it fazed them at all.
No.
It's impressive.
Because I think deep down everybody knew it, right? Like they knew, okay, we've seen it this year. We're better than this. It's just about how do we get back to that level? We'll hit on Clemson. We'll preview the Orange's final regular season game of the year. Crazy to think, as we are already in early March. But before we do that, let's check in with Rob and get a couple of messages from him.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 as we all get ready for the best month of the year, March Madness. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, you can use the bonus code FIELD150 and you will get $150 in free bets on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not you win that first bet. Here's the best part. All you need to do is deposit and bet $5 of your hard-earned money. This is how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using the bonus code FIELD150. That's FIELD150. Deposit at least $5 and place your first wager on any game. You will receive up to $150 in bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure you use that bonus code FIELD150 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available in one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient when I have to go cover games in Philly or New York, which happens quite a bit. When you cross state borders, you just log into your existing account and fire away. You don't have to create a new account in each state. It's easy, it's simple, and it's clean. And most importantly, we have some fun stuff coming up for the conference tournaments and for the NCAA tournament. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odds boost, and my personal favorite, a nice little parlay boost here and there. So download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Big news, guys. I am thrilled to announce that we have partnered with Autograph, a company founded by the GOAT himself, Tom Brady. The Autograph fandom app gives you access to the best college hoops content, fan contests, and exclusive rewards like discounted tickets, all for doing the things that diehard fans like you already do, following your favorite team in the news and listening to podcasts just like this one. When Tom, and yes, I am calling him Tom, we're on a first name basis these days, co-founded Autograph, he had one mission in mind: change the fan experience for the better. It works like this. You get all of your college hoops content you want in one place. You get articles from your favorite writers, pods from your favorite hosts, contests from your favorite creators, all on the feeds and the sites that you already enjoy. But instead of having to go to all these different places, it all comes to you in one spot, the Autograph fandom app. But here's the best part. The more content that you consume, the higher you rank in the app. As you consider to level up in status on the app, you can unlock unique rewards curated exclusively for you. So download the free Autograph app in the App Store and use the referral code F68, that's F68, or tap in at the link in the description below or in the podcast app of your choosing to start earning points for doing something as normal as listening to this very podcast.
One more regular season game to go. It all comes down to this, in a game that in all likelihood will be paramount in whether or not the Orange make their first NCAA tournament in 3 years. They go face to face with an old friend, this time at his place, who will try to stop them from getting there. It is Joe Girard and the Clemson Tigers. Clemson came to Central New York a couple of weeks ago and walked out with a 9-point victory. They led by 13 and a half. Kind of felt like Clemson was the better team wire to wire, even though the Orange kind of made things interesting in that second half, a little bit of a role reversal from what we're used to recently. But it was still Clemson who walked away with the win, and Girard himself had a nice game, 18 points on 5 of 6 from the field, got to the line, had a couple of rebounds, had a couple of assists, and really was kind of the engine that made the Clemson offense go. And let's not oversell it. He's not the best player on this Clemson squad by any stretch. That probably would be PJ Hall. But, you know, in those high emotion, high stakes type games, particularly for someone like Girard, who's always had that chip on his shoulder and kind of little pedigree to him, I guess, you wonder, Ian, how that factors in now, considering different atmosphere. Okay, now you're coming to me. This is my arena now. I'm going to show you what Clemson Joe Girard is all about.
And what do the fans bring to that? I'm interested to see how many people in South Carolina actually care that Joe Girard transferred down there from Syracuse. and if they're there to support him, or if something wacky happens and, you know, it's like, could the arena be empty? Is that something that somehow, some way benefits Syracuse? I mean, it's the middle of March. Are they on spring break? I mean, I don't know the Clemson calendar. Either way, I think the second half from this first game has to be something Syracuse goes back to and really focuses on, because they scored 44 points. Only 24 in the first half. The first half was dreadful. They couldn't make any shots. The ball got stuck. It looked like the Syracuse offense that lost to BC and just muddled around and didn't have any flow. But this team now, 3-4 weeks later, looks to be a totally different beast. Now, the problem is you take the spread pick and roll, Malik Brown in the middle of the floor, and now you have to go up against the best big that you've seen over the past four game win. You know, you get those four wins, but you didn't do it against anyone as good as PJ Hall. And you didn't have Ian Shefflin picking up and ones and rebounding. So Syracuse gets these wins, but they're not against the best teams in the conference. And now that you face a top team, if you fall apart in the second half, especially on the road, Clemson will blow your doors off and out physical you against the zone. I mean, we've talked about all these things before, but every problem, the few that we've seen over the past couple games, will be exacerbated against a much better team.
Offensively, Syracuse didn't really have a guy take over in that Clemson game either. Bell and Starling led the way with 16 each. Judah played a full 40, but only had 14. So I think that's going to be paramount too. That's something that I don't think gets talked about a ton here when we hit March. Like, okay, there's all these teams and there's all these sleepers and, you know, everybody likes to get cute with, oh, who's the dark horse? Who's going on a run? Who's sneaking onto the bubble? At the end of the day, though, Ian, like, you still need a guy who, you know, tie game, 30 seconds left, can go get you a bucket. And I think Syracuse has that guy in Judah Mintz, but if he wants to prove it, now's the time to see it, right? Like, that nobody is questioning how good of a college basketball player Judah Mintz is. But when it comes to March and when it comes to postseason, your best players need to be your best players. And they need to be that guy down the stretch. And they need to not have these kind of one-off weird bad games where they only score 11 points on 3 of 12 shooting. So I think for me, even just beyond this Clemson game, like if Syracuse is going to really garner up some chatter here, they need that guy. And I think we would both agree in that if there is going to be someone who hits that level of just total dude and bucket, it is going to be Judah.
Yeah, takeover mode would be nice. No silly technicals. Johnny, remember last year against Wake when he ripped his jersey off after Xavier Williamson made the shot? Can't have any of that. Like, Judah needs to be mentally locked in from the tip to the final buzzer. And I think the team as a whole will follow his lead. If he is somewhat distracted, or if he's pointing fingers, or if he's frustrated, I think everything falls apart rather quickly. But if he's getting the ball early and scoring, I think the rest of the team will follow his lead, because then he starts to play with a little bit of bark. You know, he chatters a little bit. He gets up in people's faces. And I think that's when Syracuse as a team is at its best, when it's got a little bit of an edge.
Clemson shot 60%, out-rebounded Syracuse by 18 in the first installment between these two. So you would think Red Autry knows what his squad needed to work on in practice this weekend and practice today as we record this on Monday and apply it all moving forward.
You get Peter Carey back on the court?
Yeah, they get Peter Carey back on the court too. That can't hurt. Before we go and say goodbye, Ian, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here. Is there a world in your eyes where Syracuse loses this game on Tuesday, does not win the ACC tournament, yet still finds a way in if they go win two or three conference tourney games?
Well, you'd be the 5 seed, chances are. So you'd get Clemson again, and then you'd get North Carolina, presumably.
Right.
Are those two wins good enough to do it? Not 100% sure.
Not without help. You got to be locked in on all these other teams. Yeah.
But yeah, you need a couple other teams to lose. I mean, look, if Wake takes two more L's, like, look, they might be on the bubble. They might be out. Sorry, Christian O'Jackson, but that's I mean, they've just played badly enough that they are right on the edge. So things have to happen in other conferences, and Syracuse needs to win and to really take care of business. I think the UNC game is doable. You know, it's not in Greensboro. It's not in Charlotte. It's not a home game for the Tar Heels. So it's not out of the realm of possibility, as crazy as it sounds.
Bubble watch time of year, conference tournament watch time of year. Syracuse has its regular season finale on the road at Clemson. It is coming up on ESPN2 Tuesday night at 7 o'clock as the Orange try to make it 5 straight with momentum on their side going into the ACC tournament. That'll do it for this edition of Red is the New Orange alongside Ian Unsworth. I'm Johnny Gadamowicz. Again, like, follow, subscribe, whatever you want to do. We appreciate the interaction as everybody buckles up for what figures to be a very exciting last week. Syracuse trying to keep themselves in the conversation, and a big win on Tuesday would go a long way in doing that. We'll be back on Friday, of course, to break it all down and preview a big weekend that will be without Syracuse basketball. But again, depending on how things go Tuesday, we could have our eyes locked on some other games around the country as well. That'll be Friday. But until then, enjoy the game on Tuesday. Should be a fun one. Syracuse and Clemson coming up tomorrow night.